Last week we talked about the fact that God chooses, but the world does not consider wise, but the world considers powerful. But God chooses us in order to demonstrate His power and His wisdom and His glory through us. We talked last week about Philippians 4:13. We are able to do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Therefore, we ourselves are not in a position to boast because we have no wisdom, we have no power, we are not in a position of influence. If we must boast, we should boast in the Lord, boast in what God has done for us. There's so many examples of this. One is just John the Baptist. Again, think about John the Baptist from the world's perspective. He didn't go to the best schools. He didn't have advanced degrees. He didn't write any fabulous treatise or books. From the human perspective, he had no power. Yes, there was an influence that John had. People were coming out to see him. And so he was someone with wisdom, with power, with influence. But as the world looked at John, they didn't see those things. Remember the words of Jesus in regard to John the Baptist from Luke chapter 7, verse 28, where Jesus says, "I tell you, among those born of women, there was no one greater than John." What made John so great? Well, it's because he came in humility, and he came in the wisdom and in the power of God, fulfilling the mission and purpose that God had called him to. So he's an example of someone who the world would see as weak and powerless, but in God's eyes, he was powerful. Another example is the disciples of Jesus. As you know, we've done studies of the disciples before. These men were not the great scholars of the day. They had not gone to the best universities. They didn't have power and great influence. They weren't of noble birth, privileged birth. They were fishermen. And Jesus, he was a carpenter. Jesus didn't go to the University of Jerusalem. He was a carpenter who faithfully did what God called him to do. And the disciples, the same. Not powerful, not educated, not of noble birth, but completely given to the Lord. This morning we're going to begin 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but before we do that, let's look at one key verse from chapter 1. A verse we looked at very briefly last time, but we want to return to it as it reminds us again of this contrast between the wisdom and power of God versus the wisdom and power that comes from men. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." Salvation. That's a pretty amazing thing. You know, people often try to save themselves. But from a human perspective, it is unachievable. Salvation is only by the wisdom of God, only by the power of God. We have lots of problems. Many times we try to solve those problems with our own human wisdom, our own human achievements. But the truth is, it's our human efforts that creates the problems that need to be solved. Only Jesus can solve them. Let's now begin chapter 2. In chapter 1, we noted that Paul pointed out the fact that the people in the congregation of Corinth were not the wise of the world, were not the powerful of the world, were not those of high birth, noble birth. Paul will now apply those same basic ideas to himself. Paul was not a great philosopher, not one with the world's wise men. He was simply a herald of God. God had given Paul a message to proclaim. His whole business was to deliver that message with faithfulness, adding nothing, altering nothing, omitting nothing. As we read this morning, the opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we find what are, in essence, Paul's personal reflections about himself, applying to himself the same things he set forth to the followers there in Corinth. Let's read again verses 1 through 5. When I came to you, the Apostle Paul says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I was resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Paul comes and preaches the gospel in the city of Corinth. He comes in human weakness because he knew that the power of the gospel is found in God, not in human eloquence, not in human strength, not in human wisdom. You know, when we are weak, that's when God is able to be strong. Paul came to Corinth to tell the people that what they could not have known through their own human wisdom, God had revealed in the power of the gospel. He came to Corinth to tell them about God's plan of salvation in the person of Jesus. In fact, verse 1, he came to Corinth to proclaim the testimony of God. Now the actual word here used is the word mystery. And if you've done any studies in the book of Ephesians, you know that Paul develops in that letter this whole notion of the mystery of God. What is the mystery? The mystery is not something that's ambiguous and hard to understand. Rather, in the biblical perspective, the word mystery means that which was concealed but has now been revealed, revealed in the person of Jesus. Some refer to this as God's special revelation, something that we would not know on our own, something we would not discover with our own human intellect, but God revealed it to us. As we've seen, running through these opening chapters of Corinthians, is this clear distinction between human wisdom and God's wisdom. Paul continues that as we look now at verse number 6. Paul says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among mature, not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Again, we have two kinds of wisdom here. We have the wisdom of this age, the wisdom of the rulers of this age. And then we have the wisdom of the mature. Mature is probably a better word than the word perfect. I know the slide has the word perfect, but a better idea is the mature. In the context of this passage, the mature are those who have experienced a relationship, the redemption of Jesus Christ. Now, there's other places in the scriptures where the word mature is used in contrast to the immature. But here, the contrasting group are those who do not have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The contrast here is between the believers and the unbelievers. And Paul is saying that these two groups of people, the believers and the unbelievers, are fundamentally different in their understanding, in their power, and in their wisdom. As this passage will go on to explain, one group operates from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. These are those who have the very mind of Christ. If you are a believer, you have the mind of Christ. The other group operates from the perspective of the world, and they have the mind of the world. You compare the mind of Christ and the mind of the world, I know which one I prefer. The mind of Christ, the things of the Spirit of God, are much more powerful, much more wise than anything that humans could come up with. And what separates these two groups, it's their relationship with Jesus. Whether or not they've received a new nature, received a new mind. When you consider believers and unbelievers, we want to consider those who think with the mind of Christ and those who think with the mind of the world. And the last part of verse 6 there reminds us that the rulers of this world are those who are coming to nothing. In a better translation, a more accurate translation would be those who are perishing. We noted before that for those who are perishing, the gospel is foolishness. Well, those in this world are perishing. They see the gospel as foolishness. They can't even comprehend it. Paul will go on to say in verse 7 that instead we speak the wisdom of God, hidden in a mystery that God determined before the ages for our glory. Not for his glory, but for our glory. God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ is his wisdom. It's his mystery. It's a plan from the very beginning. It was revealed to humanity with the coming of Jesus. I like the way Paul describes this as for our glory. It is a revealing for our glory. From the very beginning, God had a plan for his own people. He wanted a people to share in his glory, to be his glory. And that's what we are. We are the glory of God in that regard. God knew from the beginning. God called us from the beginning. God revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ at the appointed time. And now we need to live to the glory of God. With regard to the wisdom of God, a wisdom that was hidden in a mystery, the rulers of the world, they were ignorant. They did not understand the mystery of God because they were looking at it from a human perspective, from the fallen wisdom of this age. Paul points out a rather interesting irony in this situation. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The irony here is that the rulers of this world, acting on the basis of their false human wisdom, they actually saw the cross as foolishness. But in that ignorance, they actually brought about the wisdom of God in their actions. In other words, in order to show how truly foolish the wisdom of this world really is, God used the wisdom of the world, the rulers of this world, to enact his wise plan. Unbeknownst to the rulers of this world, they actually brought about the very thing that they saw as foolish. They didn't know. But how could they know? They were looking upon Jesus with human eyes, from a human perspective. They could not know the deep things of God because they were unwilling to adopt and accept and embrace this one that God had sent. This humble man from Galilee. From human eyes, Jesus didn't seem to be anything other than a carpenter from Galilee. He didn't appear, from human perspective, to be the very Son of God walking amongst us. They had no idea. Their actions in that human courtroom in the city of Jerusalem, they were indeed working out the divine mystery of God. In their minds, from their human perspective, they were putting to death a pretender. But in reality, in their ignorance, they were fulfilling the plan of God and the wisdom of God. Why didn't they know? Didn't the prophets reveal? Why didn't they know what they were doing? Well, Paul quotes from the prophet of Isaiah to explain why they did not understand. Quoting from Isaiah, we read, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. This is a remarkable quotation, for it confirms so clearly the truths that we have in this session. There is a vast difference between the way God views and understands the world and the way man views and understands the world. We have a very limited perspective. We see and we hear things from a limited point of view. Notice that this verse specifically mentions the eyes and the ears. We see and we view things from one limited vantage point. And it's a vantage point that is affected by our fallen condition. Theologians refer to this as the noetic effects of the fall. The noetic effects of the fall. In the fall of man, our thinking has become futile and become dark. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul describing fallen humanity says, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Therefore, man's knowledge, man's wisdom is not complete. Rather, it is faulty, it is distorted, it is in a fallen condition. It cannot measure up to God's knowledge and God's wisdom. This is an important point. In fact, we'll see later on in this passage that as believers, we do have access to the knowledge and wisdom of God, but believers are not limited to that mere human perspective. As we said, we have the mind of Christ. Interesting thing we see in this quotation from Isaiah is that God is revealing to us in Jesus Christ. It's not something that the mind can even comprehend. A literal translation of this verse would be, the heart of man cannot even reach up to it. In other words, it's another example of that special revelation. We would only know it if God revealed it to us. We would not know it through our own human intellectual efforts. An important element of the special revelation is God's plan of salvation. The fact that He sent His Son to be that sacrifice of atonement for the sins of humanity. The fact that it is by an act of faith on our part that man can experience the redemption and the reconciliation that's available in Christ Jesus. This would not be known unless God revealed it to us through His special revelation. This is the mystery that Paul has been talking about. Paul puts it this way, the very first part of verse 10. God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. We come now to the last segment of chapter 2. This portion of Scripture is very significant if we understand it correctly. It's talking about the ability on the part of fallen man to even grasp the spiritual truths of God. Does humanity have the ability to even understand the gospel message? Paul explains that beginning the latter part of verse 10. Let me read these verses for you, verses 10 through 16. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. What are spiritually discerned? It's the words of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In this passage, we have some remarkable contrasts. We have the Spirit and the things of the Spirit and the words of the Spirit on one side, and we have man and the things of man and the words of man on the other. This is a contrast that Paul has been addressing through the first two chapters of this letter. We have man's wisdom on one side, we have God's wisdom on the other. We also see here that the Spirit that is man possesses will determine what he understands. Does a man possess the spirit of the world, or does a man possess the Spirit of God? Does he have the mind of the world, or does he have the mind of Christ? This world operates on the basis of the wisdom of man. That's why it's sometimes challenging to have conversations and discourse with this world. They don't understand what we're talking about. The believer operates on the basis of the wisdom of God. Paul has been saying throughout this letter that he came to Corinth speaking only the simple message of the cross. Christ and Him crucified. He came to Corinth speaking only the words of the Spirit and not the words of this world. That's why this world thought that what Paul was saying was foolish, and they rejected him. Verse 14 captures the heart of Paul's point in this session. The man without the Spirit, the unbeliever, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. To be spiritually discerned means that the words of the cross, the words of the Spirit, the words of God's wisdom can only be discerned by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of this world. This is how Martin Luther described it. Martin Luther said, the Bible cannot be understood simply by study or talent. You must count only on the influence of the Holy Spirit. When we come to God's Word and we possess the Holy Spirit, truth is revealed to us. John Calvin, another great reformer, said it this way, the testimony of the Spirit is superior to wisdom, to reason. For these words will not obtain full credit in the hearts of men until they are sealed by the inward testimony of the Spirit. God has given us His Spirit. His Spirit dwells within us. Therefore, we are able to understand the things of the Spirit, because those things are spiritually discerned. In chapter 2, verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Interesting verse. What it says there is that if you possess the Spirit of God, you understand the things of God. You also understand the things that God has created, the things of this world. You can make judgments about all things, but He Himself is not subject to any man's judgment. And the notion of man's judgment here is human judgment. Human judgment doesn't even understand what we possess and what we know. So therefore, we are not subject to human judgment. Why is the world not able to judge the spiritual man? Because the world does not know the Spirit. The spiritual man is able to judge all things. Finally, verse 16, Paul tells us that we have the mind of Christ because we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Sometimes you and I try to share our faith, our belief in Jesus, with others. Embrace that. They don't accept that. They think that it's silliness, nonsense. It's frustrating. And what's frustrating about it is because they do not possess the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We see things from that spiritual perspective, but they do not. What we need to always remember, and what Paul will continue to address in the next chapter, is that God is the one who brings the Spirit. He is the one who brings growth and development and transformation. God is the one who changes the human heart, changes the human mind. Instead of having a mind that is characterized with futility, as we saw in Romans, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you receive the very mind of Christ. We need to continue to share the gospel message with the lost world. Jesus commissions us to do that. About the gospel message, the mystery of the cross. They will believe when God touches their hearts and touches their minds and touches their lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love. We thank you for the mystery you have revealed. We thank you that you have taken away our mind of this world and given us the mind of Christ. You've taken away our mind of futility and given us a mind of understanding the gospel message so that we can be new people with new minds. Help us share the gospel message, lost world. And we pray that you would continue to change hearts and change minds as you have in the past. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.